Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life behind the scenes of a YouTube creator and, well, somebody alive, I suppose. All of that stuff. It's the 6th of October 2024. It's not as cold as I was expecting it to be. I do remember that we have had quite a few mild Octobers when I used to, and I've spoken about this on the Naked Englishman, I remember this, when I used to do the old fire eating and stuff towards the end of October as a performer. I would turn up at the Redoubt Fortress at Guy Fawkes Night, which is the 5th of November, of course, and indeed at the end of October sometimes people would book me as a fire eater at various events or parties, Halloween events, and it's always cold. It used to be very cold. It's we're nowhere near there yet because we're only on the 6th, so we've still got another 20 odd days or whatever it is. However, we will no doubt start to see the temperatures drop, probably. Although sometimes it's quite interesting. I've noticed that on the Halloween or even November the 5th, it can be quite mild, and then I've compared it to previous years. And then other times it is cold. And I know people are saying, oh, but this is all climate change, blah, 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 blah. I think it's climate manipulation. That's what I think it is. Anyway, welcome back. Sorry we didn't do one yesterday. We were away. We were in Glastonbury on Friday night. So, but back today because we came back to Julia's parents yesterday morning, and there was an event. Julia's brother's daughter, her niece, was two, so we went to this two-year-old party. So on the 6th, let's have a look at our diarists then and see what they say. This is Dorothy Wordsworth, who has one entry. Arrived at Grasmere about 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening. I cannot describe what I felt. We went by candlelight into the garden and were astonished at the growth of the brooms, Portugal laurels, etc., etc., etc. So it's just that one entry, I'm afraid. So Glastonbury went very well. We were in the main town hall. Last time we were up there, well, last time I was in the town hall at Glastonbury was the year before. Last year. In July, on my birthday, on my 60th birthday. And I was on stage. I didn't celebrate my 60th birthday in an avant-garde way. I was on stage there. But we did stay at the, oh, what is it called? The Something and Pilgrim, which is the pub just at the bottom of the high street. It's a beautiful old pub inn, coaching inn, in Glastonbury at the bottom of the high street, with a stone frontage. We stayed there. I think we were in a newer annex than one of the older bedrooms. The older bedrooms had four-poster beds in and things. But we I can't remember if we were put up there. I think we were put up there, actually. Anyway, this time we weren't. We went back to one of the speakers' houses who lives in Glastonbury, and she put us up, and we had a lovely meal after the event. And unfortunately, we had to leave early in the morning because we had to be back to this party. And Julia's kids were being looked after by her mum, but we knew that we didn't want to give Julia's mum too much hard work, so we came back, and then we went off to this party. Anyway, and then I came back, excuse me, yawning, came back last afternoon, got in about 7:30. And was quite, I suppose, just kicked back and relaxed a bit, had something to eat, got the fire lit, all those sort of things. Had a cup of tea and smoked my pipe, which was all very nice. And, you know, and then I suppose went to bed. And I'm up now. after some very odd dreams, but I won't go into those, but they were just a bit odd dreams, something at an exhibition centre or something with a trailing microphone. It was quite odd, really. Anyway, we carry on with the usual things that we're doing. Somebody said they'd sent me a book, and it hadn't arrived, so I'm looking forward to that coming. People send me stuff all the time, and the trouble is I try to get these things on the show, can't always get them on the show. Somebody sent me a book that I read, and I just thought I don't really understand the point of it. And that is the case in a couple of the books that I've got. I'm happy for them to come on the show and explain it to me, and probably there is an email somewhere from them saying, did you get my book? And I better gather them up and say, look, I have got your book. Are you wanting to come on the show? I don't know how people find that. I mean, I'm happy to help and promote people. So I must gather these books and say, look, you know, I'm ever so sorry. Just busy life. Now busier than usual, although I've always kept myself busy. I have always kept myself busy, which I prefer to be in that state, to be honest with you. I do prefer to be in a busy state, although I would say that I want a peaceful life. So busy doing stuff that I enjoy, but not busy doing stuff that other people want me to do. But we live in a world, don't we, where we've got to earn some money and what have you, which is a bit of a strange anomaly. I'm just thinking what to talk about, or whether to grab another book and read bits, because sometimes books lead me in a conversation, don't they? They lead me to think about certain things, and that's why I have books. It's amazing how many places now do not have books. You know, everything is digital. We've been pushed into this digital world, and people are having very extreme simple lives. And we at this party, I suppose, they didn't have any books. They might have had half a dozen, you know, children's books. But what's happened? Where are the books on people's shelves? That could make a monologue in and of itself. A book is the consolidation of somebody's thoughts on a particular subject. And those thoughts are, I suppose, a capture in time, aren't they? They are a capture in time. They can be also people's experiences. And that's another thing. Or they can be... obviously, they can be somebody trying to put into words a concept or I'm just thinking of instructional books or books around a subject that is relatively instructional. So, you know, but where are they on people's shelves? I mean, I am mad about books, absolutely mad, but... I can't remember if I said this in The Naked Englishman before. I happened to watch a video, and it was about this young guy. He obviously was a book collector, but there's a difference between a book collector and a book reader. He was talking about the book, the state of the actual object. Now, I'm not too much worried about the book. I love books, of that fact that they've been printed, they're second hand or they're new. I like old books, obviously. I say obviously. But there's something about an old book, that especially if it's been loved and read and things like that. But he was not, and the subject is what I'm interested in. But he was talking about, this chat was about the, you know, keeping books as an investment, and blemishes on the cover, and, you know, first editions, and whether it's signed, and all these sort of things. Now, none of that really bothers me. I'm much more interested in the accumulation of books as a potential knowledge source. Now, I know we all can go to the internet, but the internet is something that can be created overnight. And somebody can put something online, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. It is possible, of course, to write books and none of it be true. you could argue that our history at the moment is under scrutiny as whether the events recorded in our history are quite accurate and whether they ever could be accurate, even if somebody was trying to relate those things, because it's always going to be from a witness point of view, and that the witness may well be biased in some fashion. But, as I say, it's an encapsulation, and once it's printed, it's printed. So it comes with all its glaring errors, but it cannot be changed. And that's the lovely thing, unless you buy a newer edition. But with the internet, of course, things can be changed, updated to suit certain purposes. And that's it's why I find it we're all being encouraged to get our information from online, which can be manipulated for an agenda, if you like. It may not. It may not be manipulated. It may be perfectly laudable. I'm not saying it isn't, but there is that potential. Whereas, of course, printed matter is printed, and it's very difficult to go back and change it. Now, some people talk about the Mandela effect, and I haven't worked out whether this is just the brain remembering things wrongly from where it has been. You know the Mandela effect. That's the business about when we think of the things like the game of Cluedo. We always think that there was a monocled man on the box. Was there? When you look at a modern box, it wasn't. When you look in some history, in sort of on the, online to look at old boxes, it isn't. But then if you carry on looking, you do find the occasional one where there is a monocle and you go, hang on a minute, he was wearing a monocle. I always remembered him wearing a monocle. And was that suggestion or did that really happen? Or has it been all, have they been purchased to change it? Why would they bother? But, and this happens with a number of, apparently in the film Cinderella, it's not mirror, mirror on the wall. It's magic mirror on the wall. But most people remember it as mirror, mirror because it's been bastardised and they are convinced that's what they've heard. And I think it was coined the Mandela effect because somebody said they thought they saw Mandela. Couldn't have done because he was in prison. And so it's these things where I'm convinced I've seen something, but that didn't really happen, as I understand it. However, there is a much more woo-woo effect, much more, esoteric? There's a much more, not spiritual necessarily, but mysterious element to this, that actually some people say the universe or the planet or whatever, God, if you like, is changing things, that actually those things were there, but they are changing, not for any malicious purpose that we can find, but just to, I don't know why they say it, but it's almost like to test us, to confuse us, or maybe to wake us up, that things are not as straightforward as we're led to believe, and maybe that's what it is. I don't know. And I dare say there is various theories on it. I mean, that was one theory that I've just given you, but that was what was told to me, so I'm not 100%. So somebody gave me a book here on one of the talks that I did. This is called Find Your Authentic Self, a powerful little book on how to release resistance to being yourself and experiencing inner peace. So let us just open up this at random. Being your, okay, honesty is a chapter heading. Honesty is not about giving the answers others want to hear. It's about being real, true to yourself, even when uncomfortable. Let's be real for a moment. Honesty isn't always a walk in the park. It's more like navigating a minefield of awkward conversations and uncomfortable truths. However, honesty is another essential piece of the jigsaw on your journey to find your authentic self. According to a study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, being honest leads to greater well-being and life satisfaction. So by embracing honesty, you're not just being true to yourself, but you're also paving the way for a happier and more fulfilling life. Now, I know what you're thinking, but what if my truth isn't pretty? What if I'm hiding things about myself, things I've said and done that I'm ashamed of? Well, guess what? A boil on your bum ain't pretty either, but you still need to deal with it, don't you? And just like your truth, you wouldn't reveal it to everyone or describe it in great detail. It can be on a need-to-know basis, and your darkest truths can be released in other ways. Well, that all makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Sure, honesty can be a tough pill to swallow at times, but it's so incredibly liberating. Think of it as ripping off a band-aid. You wince pain for a moment, but then you're free. Free from the burden of secrets and lies. Free to be unapologetically yourself. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Honesty isn't about blurting out everything that pops into your head. It's about finding the balance between speaking your truth and respecting the feelings of others. Maya Angelou, whoever that is, once said, "I learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel." And that's a very interesting and powerful just a thing there, isn't it? People forget what you said, they forget what you did, but they will remember how they made you feel. If you make somebody feel nervous, or if you make somebody feel happy, you make somebody smile. And what an important thing to think about. That resonates very much with me. So how do you become your most authentic self through honesty? Simple, as always. Start by being honest with yourself. I told you it was simple. Take a long, hard look in the mirror and ask yourself what you genuinely want out of life. And even if you want to happen, it maybe you want it to happen this week or even today. Write it into your gratitude journal or even this book. Thank you, thanking yourself for your honesty. This would be a good time to actually do it. Go on, look in the mirror and say to yourself, what do I really want for myself? Sure, it's a big question, but let's see how it feels to ask and what your subconscious mind thinks about it. Write the question on a post-it note, put it beside your mirror to remind you, and do it every day, and notice how willing your subconscious is to share more thoughts and feelings with you, because it wants the best for you. When you are ready, sharing your truth can be very liberating. Choosing someone to share with, someone you feel safe with, someone that you will hear you without judgment is a good thing, a real friend. Tell them about how you feel. Tell them how you feel about such and such, or own up to a mistake you made. However, if you feel at this time in your life that you don't have anyone to trust and you're not quite ready to bear out these thoughts, then bring in your PB. Your PB is your pillow buddy or a big cushion. This is your unconditional, accepting, non-judgment and silent confessional buddy. The pillow cushion is a place on a chair while you sit in another chair and you face it and you start talking about how you feel. You express things that you've never said to anyone before. And when you're finished, you thank your pillow buddy for listening. Ideally, this technique is a temporary one. It's like a rehearsal to let you explore feeling vulnerable. This is also a very useful technique if you want to express anything to anyone who is deceased or someone that you know you'll never see again. Make a date with your pillow buddy. A time when you won't be disturbed, when your phone is off. If you want to move forward to reclaim your authentic self, then this exercise is essential, and you might even find that you enjoy it so much that you'll repeat it ever so often. I think talking to perhaps a dead relative is something that is a good one, because you, in a way, they may be there listening, but you can't tell necessarily. Remember, vulnerability is not a sign of weakness. It's a testament of your progress. And if all else fails, remember to laugh. After all, it's just a pillow. Reveal in absurdity, and as Mark Twain once said, humour is the great thing, the saving thing after all. So go ahead, embrace honesty like a long-lost friend, and watch as it leads you to reveal your most authentic self, as well as your shadow, the ego. And who knows, you may just discover that the truth really does set you free. It's all part of the puzzle. And this book, that's the end of that chapter, by A.J. Gass, G-A-S-S, has been written as a, you know, these are, each chapter is a piece of the puzzle to reveal your authentic self. It's given to me, I believe, when I was at the Barn Theatre in Ledbury. Or it's just not really the theatre, but it was used as a theatre. The Barn, it's called. Lovely place. Anyway, I must get this uploaded. And then think about today's monologue. There are a number of things in my head that I haven't really overly thought out yet. Sometimes I'm a bit rushed, and then I look at them back and I think, well, I could have done that a lot better. So I need to do that. But also, I got some hot water yesterday, and I didn't have a bath, and I hadn't had a bath for the day before either. So I think I might have a little bath before I get on with the video, which might mean it's a little bit later. But and I need a shave as well. So a little bit of personal ablutions this morning is required. But I wanted to get this little chat with you done. And in a way, I suppose this is it. You know, the Naked Englishman is my authentic place where I come and chat, and sometimes I read, as you know, and sometimes I'll spew out a thought or an idea that I'm working on, or something that tells me about myself. And I think that is a very good thing. I don't listen back to them. I mean, I might listen back to an episode from a year or two ago for 5 minutes and just go, oh, yeah, I remember that. And that's about it. I don't really listen back to them as a, you know, I think if I listened back to them before, I would send them out. I wouldn't send them out. That's the truth, isn't it? And it's interesting because I don't know who listens to this and how many people and what they think, and they'll have their own thoughts, but I'm not really asking for feedback as such. Sometimes it's just nice to know I'm not wasting my time doing this, but I actually do it more for myself than anybody else, because I think first thing in the morning, expressing yourself is it's quite good. It helps me wake up my mind, it helps me focus. And some days, as you will have heard, I'm not as together as I ought to be. Anyway, it's nearly 8 o'clock. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, goodbye.